Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, and joining us on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook.
From an even safer distance from Brian. Hi, how's it going?
That was a very,
but it was very over the top too. It was like one of those like greeters at a mall or something. Oh my
God.
I've
done that before. That has been a job that I have done.
Well, I hope you got a raise because you're very good at it. Very good at it.
No, I got paid minimum wage.
I was going to say the other way. You might have scared some people away too with too much happiness there.
I don't think anyone gets scared away from a mall by a greeter though.
At some stores, I'm not a big fan of those. Because it's too artificial. But anyways, that was great. We're ready to go here. This is playoff time.
Yeah, we're in the midst of it. And
how's the Twins doing? Just wondering.
It's Thursday. Wow, that's rude.
Oh, that was not nice.
That's too soon? Rude.
Oh, they're not playing? I didn't know.
That's real rude, Zook. How are the Expos doing, buddy?
Well, you know, again, they're unbeaten because they haven't won a game or they haven't lost a game in about 15 years.
I think they're holding a pretty big L considering that they're not.
Wait, aren't they the reigning World Series champions?
They are.
I guess that's true.
Technically, they are.
Also not in the
playoffs.
Thank
you, Michael. Thank you, Michael. I will never count that, but thank you. Yeah, they've won one more title than many a team, and they haven't played baseball in almost 20 years. Yes.
It's a marvelous feat. Actually, so speaking of marvelous feats that haven't happened in quite some time, did you guys see the details on the historic run that the Atlanta pitchers are on?
This is insane. I did see the stat today. They're okay, so if people don't know this, they've played 5 playoff games so far. They have 4 shutouts. Their ERA is under 1. And they are in rarefied air. Like, we're going back to, like, 1905 and places like that. Like, it's crazy.
The 1905 Giants with Christy Mathewson. And if you've read any, like, baseball
history. Right. First of all, that's, like, old-timey video. I don't even know if it's on YouTube. I don't know if they had video back then or film, right? Like, this is going back 115 years, right? Yeah.
And not the pitching staff, I would have assumed.
Exactly. This is. I wouldn't say, like, you know, because
they suck.
The Braves are really good back in the 90s, right? They won their one title and they had a huge run there, like 10, 15 years.
They had, like, how many Hall of Famers in their routine?
Well, I mean, they had Maddox and Glavin and Smoltz, and, you know, like, you're talking about one of the best 3-man rotations of all time.
Yeah. Now you're doing it totally with Max Fried, Ian Anderson, and Kyle Wright.
And they
have a good bullpen.
And their bullpen is.
They got a good bullpen. So.
AJ Minter, I watched a little bit this afternoon, and he was just throwing heat. And yeah, they've got a whole bunch of. They're just kind of.
Will Smith, Mark Melanson.
Yeah, got, all that, right? And they've got. But I just never would have. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. The Braves hadn't won anything for a long time. I mean, they've been there a bit, but who would have thunk this coming into this postseason? Of course, 2020.
So coming into the postseason, Atlanta ranked 28th out of 30 MLB clubs in starting pitching ERA at 5.51.
So, I mean, at some point in time, it's got to
– but
it's going to stop, right? I mean, they also haven't faced exactly good bats.
So the article –
nobody's in
free of them. Five games, Brian. I mean, I understand that a bit, but, I mean, this is historic stats that they're putting up right now. I mean, sure, they're not playing maybe the greatest, and we'll find out if they go against the Dodgers.
They will. I mean,
that'll be a really good series.
When you listen to this, you'll know. But I mean, as of right now, the Dodgers are up 7-2 in Game 3 of the NLDS in the top.
But that said, as you know,
about to add more runs too,
and they might. But the Padres have been pretty resilient. They had a very good chance of getting game two in that series. And
I love the Padres. I want them to do well.
Sure.
They're down 7-2 in the top of the fifth right now, though, Zook.
Well, let's not spend too much time talking about a game that'll have already aired.
True.
It's Friday morning when this is airing. So
either way, they're going to get the Padres or the Dodgers who are going to beat up on that pitching staff.
So, I mean, maybe. Here's the thing about the pitching maybe. Stuff. So Matt Kelly and Sarah Langs on MLB were writing – so if you take out Fried and Anderson, like they had a 2.14 ERA, those two, and they're two of the three doing this.
Yeah.
Right. Like the only one who had like a bonkers high ERA and who has like some like drank the magic elixir is Kyle Wright, who had a 5.21 ERA in the regular season. Now, and of course, bearing in mind, like this is a 60 game season, so like these pitchers,
they could have
one bad game can completely
sure.
just corral your ERA over a short season, right? Like one third of a regular season.
Yeah,
but it is historic what they've done. Sure, it may be a little bit inferior opposition, but it is playoff baseball still. They still have to, you know, play the games, the teams they're up against. Yes, I mean, obviously they'll have a much harder test, either be it the Dodgers or the Padres, depending on what the result was on Thursday as we were taping this. But, I mean, it's exciting because the Braves are sort of, you know, they had their big heyday in the 90s there, and now they get back to the conference final there, and we'll see what happens, you know. I would, you know, obviously they're going to be underdogs, but – I mean, did they get to at least set up their rotation? They have a break in doing that, and depending on if the other series goes a little bit longer, and they might, and they don't have to travel too much. I think they just go from Houston over to Arlington, so it's an easy trip for the team to. They're
you know what's have. You know what's crazy too, that like despite the fact that Atlanta is playing out of their minds right now, and are incredibly good. It's still like their pitching staff being this good is still not the weirdest thing to happen in baseball, even like today.
Okay,
I don't know if you guys saw, but did you guys see the Greinke thing?
So this is the, like he's tipped his or called his pitch or whatever.
Yeah. So the
The
A's had a guy on second, and instead of he wanted to move faster because he thought that it was going to keep them in a better rhythm or whatever the heck. So he just was like, he just signaled to the catcher. He's like, I'm throwing the curveball. Threw a curveball and Laureano jacked it out of the stadium. I guess, knowing what pitch is coming really does help.
Yeah. And they didn't have to bang a trash can for that one. And so and Astros still won the game in the series anyways.
I did read that Greinke said that the two was not a signal for a curve, but that a signal to change the pitching
call. Yeah, it was a sequencing thing.
Yeah.
It was a sequencing thing. And he didn't even end up throwing a curveball by StatCast. It was allegedly a slider, although you could argue, you know, that it was close enough. It was a breaking pitch that was slower that, you know, I just find it funny, you know, that the Astros get roasted for cheating, knowing what the signals are. And then Greinke kind of half gives a signal away
and gets, you know, lit up.
He was a Dodger when that series happened.
Right. And it still doesn't matter. It still didn't matter.
Or are you suggesting he's like an inside man?
Maybe. Knowing what you know about Zach Greinke, would you put it past him
to like sign with the Astros to screw the Astros?
Yeah.
No, that's not.
He got traded there. He didn't sign there. Keep it.
I like the conspiracy theory, but I'm not going to go with that.
I was going to say this might be some like Reddit. Some Reddit.
I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that knowing what we know about Zach Greinke, I would.
You're doing a little bit of Trump. I'm not saying it is, but what I'm saying is,
I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him. He's a strange guy. I like him.
Sure, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'd probably want to win a World Series title.
Also, in weird things, I don't know.
It would be pretty great that he like had secretly been inside the dugout in LA the whole time, and then he like saws his way out comes out onto the field as they accept the trophy.
It'd be so funny. Did you guys see the Alan Wainwright Cardinals thing?
No.
Mike?
No, I missed this.
Oh man, so he was on the broadcast for I can't remember what game it was, but he was on the broadcast talking, and I guess he was on the broadcast for the Marlins game, and he said that most of the Cardinals, it was on the Fox broadcast, and Alan Wainwright confirmed that half of the Cardinals, including Paul DeJong, are flat earthers and moon landing conspiracists. As if we needed another reason to hate the Cardinals.
I don't know if the hate, there'd be hate more. I think they're just, you know, it's probably good they're not playing there because they're always in the postseason, right? They remind me a bit of like the New England Patriots of baseball a bit. They're always there.
So funny though, like
that is. Was the Kyrie Irving on that team as well?
Oh my goodness, I don't understand how anyone ends up being.
He's just in their group chat.
Yeah, he's just in the group. Yeah, that's right. That's good. It was just the yellow.
So funny. I don't understand how anyone can get to that place though. Like,
what are you talking about? You just said Greinke might be an inside mole. What are you talking about?
There's a difference in between joking about something like that and full on believing in flat earth and moon landing conspiracies. Totally different things. One is a joke about a potential motivation of a baseball player. The other is like hard science.
You do know that a lot of people don't believe in science now, right?
Apparently.
You do understand. It's a big rumor of 2020. So
think of how long it took baseball to accept stats.
Well,
God. You know, like quant type stuff, right? Not just like RBI stats.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm gonna read this, and I don't, but this is true. The Astros are the fifth franchise to reach four consecutive championship series,
and
true enough. And the first since the 2011-2014 St. Louis Cardinals, also 71-75 A's, the 91-99 Atlanta Braves, which is a crazy streak, and 98-2001 Yankees. Yeah, big asterisk on that. But I guess, you know, whoever is still cheering for the Astros can do that. And I will say...
Yeah, let's tip our caps to the Oakland Athletics, who, you know, certainly put up some runs and tried.
They battled them. They battled them hard, and I think everyone was cheering for them. I feel like, the Astros are, you know, public enemy number one here. But
we love the Oakland Athletics on this podcast. We stand for them, especially friend of the show Connor Milligan.
Yes,
who's probably listening to this show from work because he does tune in over lunchtime. So. And of course, obviously, having rewatched Moneyball and stuff, I think we're all.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, another great year. You know, it just sucks a bit that you know, their season ended a little bit too early, and especially against the Astros. I mean, no one is cheering this team here. I will give them a slight credit here, and they definitely have that F you mentality right now. My goodness. They think they have it. Like, I mean, again, I mean, the funny thing is they're running around with a chip on their shoulder, you know, us against the world. But you did that. Like, I still don't understand this. You're the ones who created this whole thing. No one else did, right?
I can't believe I might actually have to cheer for the Yankees.
Please.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's interesting.
Okay, so Yankees forced game five, which will air Friday night. They, you know, hit some long bombs in game four. And
I'm going to say, Brian, you don't have to cheer for the Yankees because the
Giancarlo Stan is a monster right now. Because that guy's unbelievable.
He is on fire. But I will say that I think I'm going to make a quick prediction. I'll say the Rays are going to eke out game five.
Well, I really hope so, Zook, because I'd rather cheer for the Rays than the Yankees. But if it comes down to Yankees Astros, I'm going to have to cheer for the Yankees.
I will say this. I mean, and you would know this because you're a big Lightning fan. If the Rays get in, you could have two championships within the month of October in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's wild. I'm trying to think about when the last time that kind of thing happened. It probably was like when a city had
New England. It had to have been Boston. It had to have been like with the Patriots and the Celtics or Patriots and the Bruins or something like that. Because the Patriots have won so many times. That,
there's so much space though, in between.
Well, probably the Patriots and the Red Sox. I mean, how about that one? That probably happened somewhere in the last 10 years, right?
I'm just saying that like the space there is like the space in between the two is probably.
Oh, that's crazy! Yeah, that would be crazy.
Right? Like, I just feel like the space in between those two titles though would be more than what would be going on right now.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, in an average.
Yeah, you're never gonna. The only one.
It's not gonna overlap like this.
It would have to be like a NHL, NBA earlier, like in June, right? Like you could.
Yeah, and they didn't. They didn't have that. The Celtics won in 2008, and Bruins won in 2011.
Right. So that's about the only way you would get sort of that short time frame is you could have something within 30 days, right?
Right. I guess the Pats. Red Sox, right? The Red Sox won in 2018, and that was the year that the Falcons collapse happened.
Oh, the 28-3, sure.
Yeah. I think that might have been in the same year.
Game five, Friday night, is Gerrit Cole taking the mound for the Yankees and Tyler Glasnow for the Rays.
I will say that
both of them won in their previous games.
Right, and I've watched a lot of that series. It's a fun series, that one. They're going at each other, right? As of
yesterday, only four of the runs had been scored on non-home runs.
right. Just a lot of knocking around. Just they're going at it. It's kind of like toe-to-toe boxing right now. Good teams, right? Both teams are going at it. And, I wouldn't expect anything less than five games on this series for sure.
Aaron Boone's been doing a lot of really stupid things.
That game, too.
They've been winning in spite of him.
Right. The game two pitching. That was suspect.
Devi Garcia was doing like a good job, and he's just like, let me just throw in Jay Happ, who is.
Well, no, but the well weird thing, what people don't understand, if they didn't hear it earlier, Jay Happ was not happy, it seemed like, going into that situation, right? I mean,
well, you're the manager. Boone, it's your job to tell him to sit down and shut up.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But the Boone is, yeah, I mean, it's just, but are you putting your players in the right position? It seemed like an overthink, right? Like, I mean, I guess that's, you know, we've had games that have had eight or nine pitchers in it. So, I mean, I guess that's the way of it. But, that one, it seemed like, I would agree with you, Brian. It seems like if the Yankees win that series, it's despite Aaron Boone's sort of, the way he's kind of managing a lot of these games.
And I think that Aaron Boone is legitimately like a pretty decent manager. So to see him be this bad has been something else.
So the one thing I'm just curious here. So let's say if the Dodgers get through and it's looking good so far tonight as we're doing the airing, what do you think about Jansen as the closer? It seems like he, there's a question mark now that would be going forward for the Dodgers in the closing role.
I don't actually know what they're going to do there. I mean, they, for whatever reason, they seem to be throwing Joe Kelly as if he's the closer, which is wild considering how wild he is with his pitches.
Quite erratic. Yeah.
But I mean, who knows if the Dodgers just keep scoring as many runs?
Yeah,
as
they maybe are. they don't need to get a closer. Yeah,
they're not even going to need a closer. Man, they're a force right now. They're a team.
Oh sure, they're a juggernaut, right? They should be where they are because they've built this team up, and yeah, I mean they got Mookie Betts this year. I mean that's crazy. They got, you know,
they added Mookie Betts to
this team. I mean, and Clayton Kershaw pitched very well in game two of this series. He isn't as dominant as he used to be.
Did he?
He was pretty good.
I think he did.
I thought he was pretty good.
I thought he was okay. I mean, he gave up three runs, which is over sure six, which is not, you know, great.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying is that Clayton Kershaw, I mean, he didn't blow up like he has in the past in the postseason. They're going to need him eventually. You know, they're going to need some kind of Clayton Kershaw to be there for the next two rounds if they get through the Padres, right? So I thought he was pretty good. I think maybe there's less pressure on him than there has been in the past where he has to be the ace, he has to be this dominant pitcher.
Yeah, and he's got a good bullpen behind him, right? I mean, he only really has to go six.
He has to go six.
You know, then they can go Trinan, Graterol, Kelly, you know, that to behind him to get out of there. So, I mean, it's less pressure than before. You know, where it was like, if you don't get all the way to Jansen, then that's problematic.
So did everyone see the Cody Bellinger catch in game two where he kind of robbed Tatis of a home run?
It's past my bedtime.
And then, yeah, I know, it was pretty late on that. And then Grandisol, right? He was the pitcher.
Grandisol.
And he kind of did the stare down and threw his glove. It was very bizarre and a lot of John. And I will say this, that I love it. I got to be honest. I love it. I love kind of that passion that's being shown on the field. But it was just a weird sequence because it almost came and almost bit the Dodgers back when they almost gave up a three-run lead in the ninth, right? So, but both teams, I mean, they're in the same division. So there's a lot of good heated rivalry between them. And it's been, again, this is the best time to always watch baseball as the postseason, especially in this condensed format. You're getting four games a day this week. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, there was a good piece Matt Monahan wrote on MLB.com about that because that was obviously game two that Bellinger made that robbery.
Crazy great. Just a great play.
So tonight they met up at second base and they were smiling and chuckling. And apparently the clip, you can kind of read it as Bellinger saying, "I'm sorry, I would have been so mad if you did that to me."
That's funny.
So they're both smiling in the clip as well. So apparently, like, you know, despite some, it's a heated series. Like, this is, you know, two teams that in the same way that the Rays and Yankees play against each other throughout the season in division, these are two teams that know each other and certainly battle against each other, but the tension seems to have dissipated.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the old guard stuff has kind of gone by the wayside, right? Like, I think we've been seeing is that more guys be okay with kind of the personality, which is great. It's exactly where this game needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean,
and you're seeing that like Acuna and Tatis getting some real play during the playoffs is nice. Like, you know, having moments and people being able to see some of these like young guys with personality has been fantastic.
Oh no, of course. I mean, the one thing that, you know, it's tough because especially in the States, you still have the NBA finals going on and football is back and stuff, but hopefully people are kind of seeking out these games and watch them. And Brian is right. Some of these games are going pretty late right now because of, you know, they're doing the back to back and squeezing them all in one day. But
look, it's probably not the series that we want to see, but if we get Dodgers, Yankees, or even Dodgers, Astros, I'm willing to bet that the numbers that baseball would get in terms of TV broadcast would be through the roof. Because the NBA Finals will be done by the time the World Series is on.
Right.
So baseball will be the only sport in town for a little bit. And if it's one of those two series, holy cow, I can imagine that we're gonna get some real big numbers for baseball television.
Right, because they have natural storylines, right? And you've got, especially if you had the Yankees, Dodgers, you have pretty much the two storied franchises of the past and of the present in regards to fan base and both East Coast, West Coast, and just built-in storylines. It would be phenomenal. And then the Astros get in there, well, geez, they're the hated team right now, and then people can love to cheer against them, and it'd be fantastic. I mean, it's gonna be great, because yeah, I think you're right, Brian, because it kind of opens up after this week once LeBron wins his title there, and then people, and it's baseball. If people don't watch baseball on a regular basis, they come in to watch the postseason, and this is very much similar to every other year. Baseball in October, right? So there's some destination watching, in the next two rounds. As they'll be the best of sevens as usual, and there'll be phenomenal games, I think, with any of these four teams, right?
Yeah. Mike, I think we got one to pour out, don't we?
Which one are we pouring out? Like Bob Gibson?
Yes.
We didn't pour over him last week because he passed away over the weekend, I think.
Yeah. He's the one I'm thinking of. We got to pour one out for him.
Sure. Yeah. No. Absolutely. I mean,
I didn't know where Brian was going.
I was like, am I pouring one out for myself for the fact that I can't cheer for anyone in the AL?
But no. You know what? I will say this: Bob Gibson. If people, there's a lot of a remembrance of him over the last week about this. But I mean, all you need to know is he changed the game so much. They lowered the pitching mound because he was so dominant in his era, in his time, that they were like, okay, this is patently actually unfair to the hitters now. We need to give some advantage back to the hitters. I mean, some of his numbers are just off the charts. They're just
if the sport has to change the rules because of you.
Right.
You're one of the greats.
Yeah, your impact has just been magnified, tenfold, right? I believe you won a couple World Series, an MVP.
Two World Series MVPs. Two. Which is crazy.
What did he have? Like his ERA, I think it was in 68, was when afterwards they lowered the mound. I think it was like something – Brian, do you have that stat like about what his ERA was?
It was 1.6 something. Including game one where he had a 17 strikeout game, which you can actually, it's on YouTube. If you just Google Bob Gibson 17 strikeout World Series, the 1968 game one of the World Series, wire to wire, exists on YouTube for you to watch, to just watch him strike out 17 Tigers in a World Series game. Holds the record for most consecutive World Series complete games with 9, which is insane. I mean,
which is going to stand forever.
Yeah. And a real ambassador for the sport, didn't just ride off into the sunset afterwards, stuck around and really mentored, several generations of pitchers.
Well, Jack Flaherty had a really good tweet afterwards about Bob Gibson and what he meant to him, and kind of took him under his wings there at the end of his life about just, how much he meant to him and that organization. I mean, it's just, it sounded like this, not only was he phenomenal on the field, but all obviously off it as well.
One of the five best pitchers to ever play the game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Incredible player. Incredible player.
So we'll close there with another tip and a pour for Bob Gibson. One of the absolute best. And we will be back next week. Man, we're getting down to the wire by next week.
We will be, I think we knee might deep be into the conference finals.
We might be into the World Series by then.
It would have to be some sweeps there. I believe they start on Monday, so they would have to sweep them out there, I think, if they're playing everything.
Well, we might have a sense of who will be playing the World Series.
We could have that.
Fingers crossed, neither the Astros or the Yankees.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
All right. Thanks for tuning into the Bench Jockeys. We'll be back next week.
Play ball!
Strike! Strike three, you're out.